way through Romans chapter 15. This is the third session of four, and it covers verses 14 through 21. Romans 15, 14 through 21, and the title is Our Offering, Our Offering. So let's read the passage starting with 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles, there's the verse, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, that's 1,400 miles, by the way, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, this is from Isaiah 52, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So you are probably wondering why I would do a session on offerings. Hold on, it's not what you think. Yes, I know the tithe is 10%, and this is an Old Testament guideline. New Testament giving is from the heart and may exceed 10%. Furthermore, we know that all we have is His, so that we become stewards or managers of everything we have been given. This is all true, but is not the subject of this section on Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul has a different idea, so should we. Look at verse 16. Paul's priestly service is to present to God the offering of the Gentiles. Please realize this is not the 10% or whatever that the Gentiles are offering. This is the Gentiles themselves. The results of all the travel, preaching, discipling, and suffering that Paul did is the harvest of saved souls among the Gentiles. These are the offering of the Gentiles which Paul presents to God. Note verse 18. Paul is proud of the work which Christ has accomplished through him. So ask yourselves, what have you accomplished through the Holy Spirit's prompting in your life? This is a tough question. I ask it of all of you, and I also ask it humbly of myself. Indeed, what is your offering? Let's look at verse 14 and note the tools and skills which the Holy Spirit has prompted Paul to provide to the many new believers who are coming to faith through his ministry. First of all, he states that these new believers are full of goodness. Wait a minute. We know that believers, new or old, immature or mature, still have the sin nature to deal with. Paul himself tells us that this earlier in his book, in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Take time to study chapter 6 and 7 again. So how can we say that these Gentile believers are full of goodness? This is best understood when we realize the Greek word here translated as goodness can also mean righteousness. For believers, our sin nature, our badness remains, but we are given, the Bible word is imputed, His righteousness. Any goodness we have is motivated by the righteousness He has given us, He has imputed into us. Thus, Paul can say they are full of goodness because the Holy Spirit and His righteousness indwell all believers. Believe it, practice it, as He empowers you to serve. Secondly, he states that these new believers are filled with all knowledge. What can this mean? Even old, mature believers are still learning new things. As we are sanctified, we become more and more like Christ, knowing more, understanding more, and growing in faith and wisdom. I believe Paul is saying that believers are given all the knowledge and wisdom required to accomplish the task. Not all are preachers or ministers, but every believer can share a word of truth. They can share what Christ has done for them briefly and simply out of a heart of compassion for the lost. In short, every believer has enough goodness and knowledge to point someone to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we should all be able to instruct one another. Discipleship is a two-way street. Teachers and leaders can instruct students. Students should be eager to learn and should not hesitate to provide feedback to a leader or a mentor. Leaders should be asking, "How can I do better? How can I make this material more interesting and meaningful?" Both groups should be asking, "How can I be more effective for Christ?" Every believer is responsible to encourage and strengthen other believers. It's not what we do for God that counts. It's what we let Him do through us that has eternal meaning. Our offering is to let Him use us, use all of our time, talent, and treasure for His glory. And so, Father, we desire to be used by You. Not only do we desire to give You the credit, we desire to realize that the credit is due You, because what we say and do should be inspired by what You're teaching us from in our heart of hearts, from Your Word and from the experience in this life. Help us to grow more and more like You, that we might serve You in effective ways that glorify You and bring folks to faith in Jesus Christ. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.